The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 17. Filthy Lucre Enters the Fray. Big Guy pulled out a white envelope and handed it to Daddy Greenbanks, who held it up. He said, "How about a little campaign financing?" He opened the envelope and took out a thick bundle of money with a rubber band around it. Igor said, "Ooh, isn't that pretty?" Greenbanks tossed it to Tim, but his throw was high. Like an outfielder on the New York Yankees, Tim's gaze never left the cash, and he made a great leaping catch from a sitting position. Tom said, "We're not set up to receive contributions." Daddy chuckled and pointed to Tim, who was counting the money. "I'm not sure your partner agrees. Besides, it's under the table. That's how I make all my political donations, just a little help between friends." Meg said, "We have to be your friends?" His face settled into a scowl, which made him look even more like a bulldog. Nasty, who sat beside Lester, scrooched around behind Lester's legs. "Not a bold one, that mutt." Daddy shrugged. "You got a problem with friendship?" "No, but that's not what you're after. Cut to the chase. What do you want?" He raised his eyebrows and spread his hands as if wrongfully accused.
"Just to help you creatures."
"People," Meg said. "We're people."
"Sure you are. I want you to be free to enjoy your rights, just like you say."
"Because?" He studied her.
"Okay, have it your way. You guys stay up all night, right?"
Meg nodded.
"And there are a bunch of you."
"Close to 1,000 in Bloomsburg alone." He rubbed his hands together.
"Perfect. Your, people are what I need to expand my toxic waste processing plant to 24-hour production. I need a night shift, and you need jobs. If you're elected and get your reforms passed, me and your constituency get what we want." He shrugged. "And I won't have to worry about them getting sick and dying."
Tim finished his counting. 25,000. Daddy said,
"So, we got a deal?"
Meg stood, picking me up and cradling me in her arms. Daddy focused on me and backed up a couple of steps. She said, "What are the strings?"
"None." He sneezed. "Gotcha." "Well, one. Get rid of the cat. I'm allergic." "Gotcha."
I was starting to feel allergic to him. Like any cat, I don't like pushy people. We like to be asked, and, whenever possible, coaxed. Seems to me cats have the better system for getting things done. Meg shook her head. "No deal. Patch and I are partners, and he's been announced as part of the team." She turned to Tim. "Give him his money back." Tim didn't move. Igor sighed and went to him, and then pried the money from Tim's hand. Igor said to Meg,
"Tim doesn't mean anything. I think it's just a reflex."
Tim said, "The firm is low on cash, Meg, and I don't see how we can have any campaign at all without that."
Daddy said, "I'll throw all my plant's legal work to you guys. Hell, with the environmental suits alone, you'll be rich men."
Tim giggled, then recomposed his face into a serious expression. "Isn't that generous?" Tom said,
"So you think you can buy our loyalty?" "Why should you be any different?"
Cynical guy. Or a realist. Meg said, "Morals."
"Ha, you go, girl."
Daddy shook his head.
"You think I'm immoral for offering a little cash? Not from my point of view. In fact, paying well for services rendered seems to me to be high morality."
He sneezed again. Meg said, "No cat, no deal." Igor held the money out to Daddy Greenbanks. Daddy waved him off and said to Meg,
"All right, keep the cat. All I want is for you to lend me an ear now and then."
I looked up at her face. Her eyes cut to the money and back to Daddy. The words "slippery slope" came to mind. Tim said, "You need it, Meg, and Tom and I need the business. Do I need to remind you that we've helped you out?"
"Wow,
I had just heard money talking. Meg's eyes were wide. She stared at the money in Igor's hand, and she looked like she'd been hypnotized. She said, "That's it? Just talk? I'm free to do what I think is right?" Tim and Daddy chorused,
"Absolutely.
Absolutely."
Igor opened his mouth as if to speak, but Tim cleared his throat and Igor held his thought. Meg took a step toward Igor. Daddy Greenbanks grinned and rubbed his hands together. She reached for the money. "Oh, Meg." Meg's face settled into an expression of resolve, and she took the money from Igor. She examined it, and the smell of money drifted my way. The aroma was both sweet and soiled, just like Meg had become. I took in a little air and gave the wad of cash a low growl. Lester cleared his throat.
"I don't think you should do this, Meg. If you need money, I've got a little stash and some jewelry and stuff we could pawn."
He gazed at the money, and then at Daddy Greenbanks.
"This is not good."
Seiko stepped to his side. "Lester's right. I've got a little in a savings account I can get through the ATM, and maybe Vera at the American Vampire Association can help." Meg said, "What's the problem? Money is just money, and he said I can do whatever I want."
Like he'd given her permission, which he could take back.
That was enough for me. I jumped from her arms and walked over to stand with Lester. The thing is that being true to yourself is something you have to do all the time. Cats are that way. Oh, we'll grovel for a good petting when we want it. But that's the way we are. And we won't let you near us if we don't want to. Meg said, "Patch, what's the matter?"
I aimed a hiss at Daddy. He sneezed.
She said, "Look, I'm just being practical. After all, the goal is to get elected. Politicians have to focus on getting elected."
I'd watch TV. Look at the mess that approach had gotten this country into. It seemed to me that being a politician ought to be about doing things for people. And cats.
Daddy clapped his hands. "So, little girl, do we have a deal?"
See, Meg, he thought he was making a deal, and he was sure he'd get something out of it. His pound of flesh, as they say. I walked back to her and butted my head against her leg. She knelt and gazed into my eyes.
"Patch, stick with me here. I know what I'm doing, and I can do a lot of good if I can get elected."
That was true.
Daddy said, "Sure you can. We're right behind you."
Yeah, pulling the strings. I turned and walked toward Daddy. His eyes widened and he backed a step. I kept coming. He scooted around behind a big guy.
"Keep that thing away from me."
He sneezed and then wiped his nose on big guy's coattail. Big guy slid his hand inside his coat again. I didn't think he was reaching for another envelope of cash. Lester, who was even bigger than big guy, stepped between the thug and me.
"You're not thinking of doing anything nasty, are you?"
He bared his fangs.
"I'd hate to have to rip out your throat in front of the ladies."
Seiko said, "Don't mind me." Meg stepped between Lester and Big Guy.
"Please, I don't like violence. These people aren't here to hurt us."
She lifted the cash.
"They're trying to help."
Daddy Greenbanks, peeking around Big Guy, grinned and then stuck his tongue out at me. Okay, what to do? This was not fun. I was not being petted or adored. Meg was ankle-deep in corruption, with Tim the lawyer eagerly panting at her side. I needed some air. Well, not literally, but you know what I mean. I left the room, making sure to brush against Daddy's leg on the way out. I was rewarded with a trio of sneezes. I stood on the front porch and considered my situation. I truly liked Meg as my associate, but this was a matter of principle. Lester and Seiko came out and stood with me, and then Nasty sat beside me. The night was quiet. Meg's voice came from inside.
"Patch?"
I glanced back. She stood in the foyer, the money in her hand.
"Come on, we can do good."
Doing good did not interest me. Cats don't do good. Or bad, for that matter. With the occasional exception of peeing on a bed. But only when it's the right thing to do, when an associate needs disciplining. Some people need lots of training. I looked back at Meg. I hated this. She'd done her best for me.
Maybe I should just go along. Go along to get along. But then I'd be corrupt, too. Lester said,
You're welcome to come with me, Patch. Live the life of the wild, free vampire. I was not too keen on going there, either. However, Lester had turned out to be good to have around at times.
Seiko said, Lester, let's go to the AVA. Vera offered you a job there, and they got plenty of V1 juice.
I looked up at Lester. He gazed down at Seiko, and his expression softened. I could understand that. My thoughts went to that little Siamese who'd been coming into heat. Now, there was an idea. I had an urge to get back to just being a cat, not a candidate. The Siamese was still no doubt in heat. I wondered if vampires could do it. Being a cat of action, I decided to find out. Not bothering to say goodbye, which I couldn't have done anyway, I hopped off the porch and trotted down the sidewalk. A chorus of voices sounded behind me.
Patch?
Maybe later. Maybe never. I rounded the big bush at the end of the sidewalk, already enjoying the dark of the night and anticipating the pheromones pouring off of that Siamese. And then a net swooshed out of the dark and scooped me up.
Please don't murder me.
The song is Dire Wolf from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead.
Please don't murder me.
For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.